This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I want that music to keep going. I really like it. Come on, Keith. Yeah. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm bopping to the music. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, and today, as usual, I am here to be... Cut the music already. Jeez. It's annoying. The managing partner of your life, and unfortunately, Kerry Kaysen, my usual co-host, is on vacation. I haven't seen her for a week. She was in Mexico. She was in Florida. She's been doing some great work all over the world, and now she took a vacation. But I am so fortunate that I have a guest co-host today. That's right. We have a super lawyer, a criminal defense attorney, a superstar media analyst who's been on just about every show possible, like Good Morning America, CNN Tonight, Dateline, Good Day LA, Fox News, The Doctors, and on, Sarah Azari, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thanks, Alan. What an intro. Wow.
What an intro. I could take the whole hour to describe your practice as a defense attorney. You are one tough hombre. I guess that's not an hombre. What's a woman?
A mujer.
Beautiful. Yeah. You know, I know you've been doing this a long time. Super lawyer 9 years in a row. I'm a super lawyer myself, but not for 9 years. I just started to become a super lawyer recently.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I know you're all over the news all the time. And we've got a lot to talk about. This has been a really sad week in our country, especially in Las Vegas, of course. And later in the show, we will be talking to Avery Gardner, who is co-president of the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence. We're going to talk about the tragedy that occurred in Vegas this week and hear from Avery on gun legislation and what the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence says about this. She was on Tucker Carlson on Fox News this week, and boy, did they get into it. So you don't want to miss Avery. Also, Sarah, in Vegas this week, O.J. Simpson quietly, before the tragedy on the Strip, was released from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to talk to Brooke Keast, who is the public information officer for the Nevada Department of Corrections. And she actually, I think, recorded a video of OJ as he was leaving the prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She recorded him leaving, I think, doing his paperwork to report to his parole officer. I think she's spoken to in the media about his privacy and trying to protect him against paparazzi and the way that he exited the prison facility. So I'm looking forward to talking to her.
As a defense attorney, wouldn't you have something to say about that? Like, hey, leave my dude alone. You don't need to be recording it.
Well, I think it's a little bit of an intrusive act. I don't think OJ minds that being that he's been in there for a while.
And also, he is a media whore.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know if he's a media whore, but he's comfortable, right?
He's a whore.
but he's definitely comfortable with being recorded.
Yes, I think he is. So that's Brooke Keast. We'll talk to her later. Yesterday, it wasn't all bad in Vegas as the Las Vegas Golden Knights from the NHL won their first game in their career as an expansion team. I think it's the first one since about 1994 who won their first game 2-1. So that was some happiness in Vegas. But I have to tell you, from a personal perspective, this has been a very difficult week for me personally and my family. I did spend the week in Vegas. Was not related to the shooting or to OJ. Unfortunately, my wife's stepmom, Nancy Taylor Rosenberg, passed away this week, and we have been in Vegas all week, and I just got back. Nancy Taylor Rosenberg was quite an incredible woman. She was a police officer with the Dallas Police Department, the New Mexico Police Department, and the Ventura County Police Department. And then at the age of 44, she decided to become a crime thriller author and became a New York Times best-selling author. In the mid-90s, she was on the New York Times best-selling list with people like John Grisham and Scott Turow, who has been on this show. And they were the top crime thriller authors of the time. She wrote Mitigating Circumstances, Interest of Justice, First Offense, Trial by Fire, Buried Evidence, and probably another 8 or 9 more best-selling crime thrillers. She had a wonderful personality. She was warm and loving and a big, big, big personality, larger than life. She lit up a room. She was a wonderful grandmother to my two kids, Hudson and Harper. And she was a great stepmom for my wife, Nancy, who she grew up with. And Nancy learned so much about writing and about loving and caring from her. And of course, she was a supporting and loving husband of Jerry, my father-in-law. So our hearts go out to all of them and my family. And we will definitely miss Nancy Taylor Rosenberg. If you haven't read her books, check them out. They're really incredible, and you can find them on Amazon. It's been a sad week in Vegas. But Sarah, that's not the only things that have been going on. There's a lot of stuff that's gone on here, this week, and just breaking news, I think today and yesterday, this Harvey Weinstein thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with all of these big, powerful men?
Mm-hmm.
Sexually harassing just about everyone who walks in the door. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Well, I think it depends who you're asking, right? Because if you're asking Harvey Weinstein, he says it's because he comes from a different time. You know, his advisor slash lawyer, who just resigned today, Lisa Bloom, who I know very well from different on-air panels, you know, she mentioned that he's just an old dinosaur trying to learn new ways.
No.
And I'll keep that in mind, you know, when I go to court and I try to mitigate my client's culpability, because at the end of the day, you know, I don't see a difference between him and Bill O'Reilly, who she brought down.
Right.
You know, she attacked Bill O'Reilly for his conduct, which is exactly what Harvey Weinstein was doing, you know, to these women. If these allegations are true, I think she's saying some of them are, some of them aren't. But to the extent that they are, and these rumors have been going on in Hollywood for 3 decades about Harvey Weinstein, nobody's shocked about it. And so, you know, I just feel like she needs to pick a side, or now she's done some damage control and she's resigned. But it's like prosecuting and defending at the same time, right?
You know, I think that Lisa has her heart in the right place. And I say that she's been on the show a number of times. She's co-hosted with me a few times. Gloria Allred, her mother, and Lisa, obviously Gloria's daughter, have been on the show together.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Mother's Day show. So, you know, I know she's passionate about these things.
Right.
But I think she probably realized that maybe there's a conflict of interest with mm-hmm. her own moral fiber, with her family, and with what she does.
With the philosophy of her practice. I mean, she realized in 2 days, so I give that to her.
Right.
Whether she was advised, speaking of advisors, or she figured it out on her own, or her mother, who criticized her, was also, you know, saying what we're saying, which is, I can't believe she did this. I would never do this. I would never represent the harasser. We represent the accused.
Yeah. You know, I read something that her mother said, that if they had to go to court and she represented one of the people who have claimed that they were harassed by him, she would do it. She would go against her daughter. I think Lisa, mm-hmm. when she withdrew from representation, has said that, you know, she's not interested in going against her mother or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this story should be about Lisa Bloom or Gloria Allred.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
is about him and his behavior and how, you know, he's used his power for so many years to really objectify these women. What I'm hearing from people in the industry is that apparently there was no discrimination between sexes. The whole towel in the shower situation, was also with, and I'm not insinuating about his sexual orientation, but he just was just too comfortable with, you know, the requests he would make of these people that were working for him.
Wow. I didn't hear that.
This comes from people that I know in the entertainment industry who have heard over the years about how he treats, you know, people that work. I think it's his overall just abuse of power, you know, and how
isn't
he treats.
Isn't that the case with a lot? And I'm not going to say just men, mm-hmm. but a lot of people in power.
Sure.
They think that they can get away with anything.
And that they're above the law.
Like, how do they mm-hmm. do it? He's talking about multi-million dollar movies that they're producing, that they're developing. How can he treat people that way and not feel that it's going to bite him in the butt some point?
I think they really think they're bulletproof, you know, that they're untouchable, that they can get away with whatever because that's, you know, that's just comes with the power.
Sarah, as a defense attorney, mm-hmm. a criminal defense attorney, and Carrie Kasem loves to ask these questions mm-hmm. to the defense attorneys we have on the show. Do you ever feel like when someone walks into your office and they have been accused of doing some really awful, horrendous mm-hmm. things that you have a moral conflict and do not want to represent them?
I don't because, you know, I don't hide the fact that I represent people who are accused of very heinous things at times, you know. I have a white collar practice, but I also have, you know, A to Z blue collar practice. I consider myself a defender of constitutional rights. I consider myself someone who makes sure there's no overreaching by the government, that my clients' rights are protected, whatever the issue might be, and that they're getting a fair chance at the justice system.
Right.
Do I struggle with certain issues and certain things that I realize are probably factually accurate? Of course, I'm a human being.
Right.
But, you know, I think as lawyers, we learn to separate the emotion and the morals with our job as protectors of our clients.
That's it. We have to be professionals first. We are lawyers. She's at Azari Law, AZARILAW, her Twitter feed. Now, we have to take a break. I hear the music. Cool music.
I like the 70s.
Yeah. And so did O.J. Simpson. He did a lot better in the 70s than he did in the 90s and in the 2000s. So we're going to talk to Brooke Keast after this break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a recent Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 5959. froyofranchising.com, promo code 5959. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 5959.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Carl, how is it you're always golfing? I thought you owned a business.
I own a Reese and Irby's robot franchise, Bob.
Robots? What do they do?
They serve 7 flavors of delicious frozen yogurt in just 60 seconds with a choice of 6 tasty toppings. I've got robots in malls, movie theaters, and hospitals, and the franchisor secured these locations for me.
Sounds so easy.
Yep, managing my robots is simple. Each takes about 2 hours of maintenance a week, leaving me plenty of time to practice my short game.
Oh, nice shot. Looks like I need to get some Reese and Irby's robots.
Easiest employees you'll ever have. Just go to frailfranchising.com. Reese and Irby's will supply everything you need. They even secure you high traffic locations. Hey, where are you going?
To learn more about a Reese and Irby's franchise opportunity.
To learn more about your Reese and Irby's Froyo robot franchise opportunity, go now to froyofranchising.com and use promo code 5959. froyofranchising.com, promo code 5959. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 5959.
Wow. I love those Gervie's Law bumpers. Where are they? I gotta hear those. This is 70s stuff. I need to hear the bumpers, guys. Well, you know what? I can't believe it, Sarah. And if you just joined us, Sarah Azari, criminal defense attorney and media analyst, is co-hosting with me today because Carrie Kasem is on vacation. And we teased you with Brooke Keast, who is the public information officer for the Nevada Department of Corrections. She was going to give us a first-hand analysis and information about O.J.'s release, which took place last Sunday, just before, I believe, the awful, horrendous shooting, Mandalay Bay, at the concert. And Genevieve, is it right? Brooke is a no-show? What happened? Did she just take off and, like, go to Florida or something and establish a new life? Sarah, what do you think is going to happen with OJ? Do you think he's going to stay in Nevada? Now, you have experience with the parole, and can someone like OJ, who served, what is it, 9 years in prison, can they go wherever they want, or can are they going to stay in, you know, should they stay
Good question. So normally when you're released from prison, you have to establish residence in that state. And he has. He has an address in Nevada outside of Las Vegas. I believe he's going to be living with some friends. And then if you wish to move to another state, there is a commission that regulates, it's called the Interstate Compact Agreement between states, that allows probationers and parolees to move about and move to other states. But that receiving state has to approve it, and Nevada has to approve it. So Nevada has to approve his release from Nevada, and Florida has to approve his receipt.
Assuming it's Florida, but if he lived in Florida before he went to prison.
He did, for like 10 years.
So can he just go back to the state he lived?
The move has to be approved, and I don't want to say it always is approved, but pretty much routinely these are granted, especially if you have good basis for them. So in OJ's case, like you mentioned, he had lived there before for 10 years. He has two kids that live there.
Right.
And so it's not like some guy who just decides to go golf in Florida. I mean, he really had a residence there. That's
right.
Where he was from. So, he
spent some time here in LA too. I think he
shared his time.
Yeah, he killed a couple of people there and then left, didn't he?
You know, you're talking to a defense attorney. But, you know, look, not guilty verdict is,
well,
right?
He's
an innocent man. And he was civilly liable, but he was not criminally liable.
On this show, we had F. Lee Bailey, we had Alan Dershowitz, we had Christopher Darden. When it was the 20th anniversary of the verdict, we had a special month of OJ. And even talking to Alan Dershowitz, there was a little skepticism about the conviction, and not F. Lee Bailey. He still stands by it, but F. Lee Bailey is, you know.
Which conviction?
The non-conviction.
Oh, the non-conviction.
Right,
yeah, the not guilty verdict.
The not
the
guilty
murder.
Verdict. Mm-hmm. You know, I think these attorneys wonder how they did it. It's like, you know, you're playing a game, the dream team, as they were called, and they win, and then they say, how did I do that?
Happen?
I didn't think I was.
Right.
And in fact, what F. Lee Bailey said was that Robert Shapiro thought that he was going to be found guilty and tried to do a plea the night before. And when we asked F. Lee Bailey, why did Robert Shapiro leave so quickly after the verdict, the O.J. verdict was announced, F. Lee Bailey
said, he was in the minority.
Yeah, he was kind of embarrassed because he tried to push them into agreeing to a plea, and it didn't happen. He was found not guilty.
It's kind of embarrassing in front of your client, right?
Has that ever happened to you?
No.
Where you've actually pushed someone to take a deal, a plea, let's say, or you say, here, this is a good deal for you, and then they don't, you go to the verdict and it comes out in your favor.
No, that hasn't happened. I mean, the only time I just recently had a client who was being offered a dismissal after he does 30 hours of community service, and he was adamant about going to trial. I said, why do you want to go to trial? You're risking losing. And he said, I want to show the public how bad these cops were. And I go, listen, and dude, you want to win the war or the battle,
right.
You know? And so he ended up, that's a different story because he ended up with a clean record. I mean, he got a dismissal.
Yeah.
But in the situation where you're analogizing to OJ's situation, that's pretty, I mean, I've had situations where I've been undercut when I've told my client, this judge is a bad sentencer.
Right.
He's going to give you at least like 3 years, and then suddenly the judge gives him, you know, 18 months, and that's a little embarrassing because I overestimated.
Exactly.
But
something as lawyers that we have to deal with because, you know, I deal with it every day in my practice, my workers' compensation practice. I go to trial a lot, but I settle a lot.
Yeah.
But we have to be the expert.
Right.
At least to the degree that we can.
Right.
And give advice. I try to give advice. Settle. I had a case and I just begged the guy to settle. We had a really great offer. I said, you need to settle. If you go to trial, there's a lot of weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't. He wanted to go to trial. And then finally at the last minute, I think he realized, oh no, I could really get screwed if I go to trial and lose.
Yeah, I always tell clients that you have a constitutional right to a trial. But the way that it plays out is if you lose and there's no real, the judge doesn't see a real issue of fact that merits going to trial using, trials are expensive for the court and for the county. And if you waste or the judge thinks that you're wasting the county's resources, you get punished for exercising that constitutional right. And so you got to make a assessment about what it's really worth, you know?
And there's so many intangibles. I talked to my client. I just had a trial on Thursday. It was, I'm not going to say where it was because there's not a lot of trials up where it was, but my client was a horrible witness.
I kind of know where it was.
Yeah, well, I told you before. Was a horrible witness, and I didn't want to put her on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell her that. I couldn't say, you know, you're just, you know, I did kind of hint at it. I kept her out of the courtroom. The trial went amazingly well. I think I'm going to prevail as, you know, I need to, you know, file a trial brief. But sometimes as an attorney, we have to be the experts.
Mm-hmm.
We have to see this is a lousy witness. There's intangibles. There's
right.
a judge who will look at this person and maybe not find them credible, which will influence the facts. And
absolutely.
People don't realize that they influence the facts. And then the facts aren't necessarily facts anymore. And it becomes a little bit of a gray area.
Yeah.
And that's where you can
lose. I totally
agree.
Yeah.
You know, there was a recent case called a woman attorney who was in the spotlight in the media. She had a Sundance TV show called Laura Donna Esquire. And she was, unfortunately, in 2015, murdered. And the trial just took place, and sentencing just took place. Robert Reagan, who was her live-in boyfriend and the father of the five-year-old child, Rocco, he was five at the time, was the accused. And the sentencing just came down. Did you look at that? Because, you know, you're in the media. Obviously, I mean, there's a lot going on in that case. There was a battle with a knife, and Robert Reagan's defense, I think, was that she
attacked him.
She attacked him, and the knife went into her chest as part of self-defense, although they proved that I think there were 4 stabbings. I don't know how you can keep pumping your chest into the person.
In different spots
4 times, but.
You know, I actually know Reagan's attorney. He's a very good attorney, former public defender.
Shepherd Kopp,
yeah. I've not talked to him about this case, but I know that he had good representation. I think that when you're dealing with a murder charge, what do you have to lose? I mean, you need to take it to trial.
Yeah.
And do the best you can with the facts. And I think in this case, they went with self-defense. Obviously, the jury didn't buy it.
No.
Like you said, it was... I would love to see the demonstrative evidence, because apparently, you know, there was a demonstration when one person played, I think the investigator
right.
played
Loredana,
and then you had the witness Reagan playing Reagan, and so it'd be interesting to demonstrate how that works, where you fall on a bed, the knife's on the bed, and it's facing up, and it stabs you, and it stabs you in different places.
Four different places.
Because it sounds crazy, like you and I are talking about it, but I can't imagine that Shepard would go with that if it was not at least credibly explainable.
Well, I think Shepard said he was going to come on our show and talk about it, but he had to wait till all the appeals
had
been exhausted before he did to talk about it. But it's a good point you bring up, because to the layperson, you're hearing this story and saying, come on, that's never going to fly. But he is a good attorney, and you would think that he thought this through, the strategy, and had some belief that maybe it would work.
Yeah, and I think the DA also had a very strong case for motive. It was a very tumultuous relationship.
Right.
They would have been facing a major custody battle over the child they had together. And I think there was some evidence of him being, you know, losing his temper and being a little on the violent side before. Yeah. So all of this obviously worked against him.
And Laura Donna had been a police officer.
Right.
One of my very close friends worked, for her at her law office.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really heartbroken. He thought she was a wonderful, wonderful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, was just sick about the whole thing, and she had been so great to him as a lawyer, and he said that, you know, she was a hardworking attorney.
Do you know if this, when they went to trial, was the charge first degree, and now she's he's convicted of second degree, right?
I believe
so. At least he gained that.
Yeah, it was 16 years to life, I think, the sentence. Is that what it was?
Right, on a second-degree murder is what he was found guilty. So I'm assuming this, like, routinely these charges are first-degree murder charges, and then if you can prove lack of premeditation, then it drops down to second-degree murder. So that's what he's convicted of.
How many years do you think, Sarah, that he will serve?
Life.
You think he'll be there for life?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's about 50-something years old now, I think so. Yeah, it's a very sad case. There's so many sad things going on. And of course, probably the most horrendous and tragic was the Las Vegas shootings that took place approximately a week ago. After the break, we're going to talk to Avery Gardner, who's the co-president of the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence. We're going to hear from Avery, the Brady Campaign, what they have been doing this past week, and the legislation that they're talking about. And then, of course, if anyone wants to call in, because I think you're going to hear a pretty slanted approach, and I don't say that from a political perspective, but I think Avery would agree. It certainly is not going to be Tucker Carlson speaking, who she spoke with earlier in the week on Fox News, and he had a very different perspective than she did. But if you want to call in and challenge Avery on this, it's 800-222-5222, 800-222-KABC. We'll take your calls. We'll have Avery Gardner here with Alan Gervey, that's me, and she is Sarah Zari. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
It's that time of year again. You know, when those cute little ghosts and goblins come to visit. Hey, it's Leanne Tweeden. I love Halloween, but a broken water heater is not the kind of scare I'm looking for. If your pipes or water heater become possessed, call my friends at SoCal Plumbers 911. They work around your schedule. SoCal Plumbers 911 are available 24/7. Enjoy $50 off with their trick-or-treat special. So don't let your pipes cast a spell on you. Dial 877-PLUMBER or go to SoCalPlumbers911.com.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation that reduces the penalty for intentionally exposing someone to HIV. It reduces the crime from a felony to a misdemeanor, treating HIV like other communicable diseases. The original law was crafted during the AIDS scare of the 80s and 90s. President Trump via Twitter reached out to Democrats today to see if they, quote, want to do a great health bill. Correspondent Ryan Nobles reports.
What this could be is an attempt by the White House to put the Republicans on notice that the president may try and fix Obamacare as the existing law as it currently stands. And that's something that Republicans don't want to see happen because they've run for the last 8 years on a promise of repealing and replacing Obamacare.
KABC SoCal weather, sunny with highs from the upper 70s to mid 80s at the beaches to the lower to mid 90s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Unfortunately, I have to talk. I'd rather just listen. All right, we're back. I'm Alan Gervey. You're listening to Gervey's Law. Kerry Kasem is not here today. Sitting in her place is super lawyer, criminal defense lawyer, and media analyst Sarah Zari, who's been on just about every media outlet you can imagine. And we are now turning to a very serious subject. At the top of the show, I talked about all the events that occurred in Vegas this week, and I told you that I was actually in Vegas all week because, unfortunately, my wife's stepmom passed away, and she was a very well-known New York Best Time-selling crime thriller author, and I was there, and it was a very, very sad situation, although we saw a lot of strength in the people of Vegas. Everywhere you go, you would see signs and you would see support. I took Uber a few times and they had a lot of support in my Uber cars. They had donations and things. So Vegas Strong is coming through, but we need to talk about guns, Sarah, because this shooting has really generated a lot of discussion.
Absolutely. NRA, as it should.
As it should, NRA. Well, you know, it's interesting. You say as it should. I kind of have a different perspective because I don't know that this shooting alone should cause the discussion. I'm granted people who've listened
I'm done with discussion. I'm looking for action.
Well, here's my point. I don't think a crazy lunatic like this should be the reason why gun laws change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that we need to look at gun laws. I'm from Canada. It's very different in Canada. We don't see the number of guns in people's hands as we do here. I've never understood it. And I'm sorry. I get there's my accent. Sorry, I'm Canadian. I don't get this American fascination with guns. I think that there needs to be legislation. And I don't understand why the gun lobby is so strong. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Avery Gardner on right now. And she's going to have a little bit of a different interview than she had with Tucker Carlson on Fox News earlier this week. But at the same time, we need to talk about these issues. Avery Gardner is the co-president of the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Avery, welcome to Gervey's Law.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I have to ask you right out of the box here, what was going on with Tucker Carlson? Did you feel that you were beaten up by him? But for those of you who did not see the interview, you can look at it. You can Google it. But he really came down hard on you saying, what would you have done to prevent this? And I think you might have gotten a little caught up in his questions about prevention of this crazy act versus the bigger picture, and that is disarming a lot of people in this country, preventing crimes and preventing gun violence all over the place, not just one crazy lunatic who took out 58 people.
Well, I had a great time doing Tucker's show, and I was really glad he had me on. We have to have a conversation about this issue that involves everybody in America, though I agree with Sarah. We also need to be focused on action here. So you're exactly right. 93 people on average every day in America are killed by a gunshot. And it's a mistake to get focused on what might have or might not have prevented the last mass tragedy. Mm-hmm. And what happened in Vegas is just heartbreakingly awful. But we need to be focused from a policy perspective on what we can do to save the most lives. And that's why we're very focused on improving the background check.
But also, Avery, I mean, I think that part of the issue also is the regulations surrounding things like bump stocks and devices that turn a perfectly fine weapon into an automatic weapon.
I mean, I don't think any weapon is perfectly fine, but that's me.
No, but from the perspective of, I'm not a gun proponent, but from the playing devil's advocate, from the perspective of, you know, gun advocates, why is it necessary to have bump stocks be legal accessible?
It's not.
So even with Vegas, I think we can still argue that there's still some action to be taken, that even though we're dealing with a lunatic, even though he didn't have criminal history and he would have passed all background checks, that there's still something that could have been done that wasn't done. And when are we going to do that?
So there are two things I would say to that. The first is, you're exactly right on the bump stocks. There's no legitimate purpose for these things. We need to get rid of them. And I think that's going to happen. I think Congress is going to take care of that fairly quickly for us. You can do other things to modify a semi-automatic weapon to turn it into the functional equivalent of a machine gun. And we should stop as many of those from happening as we possibly can. That, frankly, is not going to be the thing that saves the most lives, though, because it's a fairly esoteric piece of equipment that not a heck of a lot of people today use. Mm-hmm. Though I understand sales in the last few days have skyrocketed.
You know,
people are afraid they will be outlawed.
Avery, before you go on, and I'll hold on to your second point, but I was just texted this from a listener, and on this point, he wrote, the use of bump stocks during the Las Vegas mass shooting may have actually saved lives, because as a semi-expert opinion, shooting rapidly with that stock is far less effective than if Stephen Paddock actually placed each
shot.
There
are parts of that that are accurate, although I disagree with the conclusion. So firing a machine gun or firing a semi-automatic weapon that has been turned into the functional equivalent of a machine gun with a bump stock usually does reduce the accuracy that you have in shooting. But here we were dealing with somebody who was shooting from the 32nd floor of a building way above and far away from a crowd of 22,000 people. It's not clear, based on what we know today, that accuracy was the thing he was really focused on.
Right. Yeah. He was just trying to get as many people as he can.
He had a big audience.
Yeah.
But your listener is correct that it is less accurate when you use a bump stock, but here I'm not sure that would have saved lives. It's theoretically
possible. We'll find
out more as the investigation goes.
To Sarah's point, though, that wouldn't be a reason to legislate against the legality of bump stocks, because generally speaking, I don't think that there's any real use for them in the public.
That's right.
Right. I think, you know, Avery, I have a question for you, because I'm always asked this when I'm on panels and this comes up. And unfortunately, it always comes up after these big massacres. People say, well, we already have background checks. So what more is Congress trying to push here? You know, is it is, what are these loopholes?
We don't. We don't have a comprehensive system of background checks. Today, 1 in 5 guns in America is sold with no background check at all.
Okay.
That's because the Brady Bill was passed back in 1994, and there were two parts of the gun industry in particular relevant here that just didn't exist in the way they do today back in 1994. One was gun shows. Gun shows looked very different and have gotten a lot bigger and a lot more popular since 1994. And the second is the internet.
I see. Okay.
In 1994, we were still dialing up using AOL, right?
Right.
People weren't conducting commerce on the internet. I took a look at just one website that facilitates online sales of guns the day after the Vegas massacre. Mm-hmm. And in Nevada alone, there were 895 guns offered for sale on that single platform that were sold by, quote, private sellers. Private sellers under federal law.
So you're saying when the Brady Law was passed, that it really just was applicable to retailers, and now we have more than just authorized retailers where guns are being purchased.
That's right.
Okay, I see.
That's right. Under federal law, only licensed gun dealers conduct the background checks.
So it's limited to licensed gun dealers. I see. Okay.
So it's limited to licensed gun dealers. Now, there are 19 states that have expanded that at the state level.
Right.
To improve their background check system. California is one of them. And they have covered at least more gun sales. Not always every single one, but at least more of them.
Do these background checks? Go ahead.
The studies show that in states that have expanded background checks, lives are saved. Fewer police officers are shot in the line of duty in states that have comprehensive background check systems. Mm-hmm. And fewer women are killed by their abusers in states that have it.
And the background checks are checking for, obviously, felonies and then domestic violence, I believe, right?
That's right. It's a felony conviction. It's misdemeanor domestic assault or felony domestic assault, but misdemeanor.
What about mental illness? I'm not sure how you can test for that. But
yeah, well, so there are a few other categories. One is whether there's a restraining order out against you.
Okay.
Another is whether you've been involuntarily committed to a mental institution in the past.
Okay.
And another is if you're a fugitive from justice. Those are some of the big categories.
Okay.
All right. Well, we've got a lot more to talk about. We've got one more segment. We're talking to A.V. Gardner, the co-president of the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm Jeff Gannett, CEO of Macy's, and I'd like to introduce the new and improved Macy's Star Rewards, a simpler rewards program starring you. Silver status means 25% off any day you choose with Star Passes. Gold status means getting free shipping with no minimum plus the Silver status benefit. Platinum status means 5% back in rewards every day with your Macy's card. No merchandise exclusions, plus gold and silver status benefits.
Macy's Star Rewards, exclusive to Macy's cardholders. Learn more at Macy's.com/StarRewards.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancer, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
All right, I don't have any time for this music. We got to talk guns here. We're talking to Avery Gardner, co-president of the Brady Campaign and Center to Prevent Gun Violence. Before the break, Avery, we were talking about legislation and what the Brady Campaign focuses on. You know, I'm probably in the minority. I know I am. And I don't want to be considered someone like Jimmy Kimmel. You know, it was a wonderful, beautiful speech, but I do agree with Ben Shapiro that he didn't have to cry and he didn't have to make it so emotional. My issue here is, why can't we do more to legislate? We legislate everything. And yes, I understand the First Amendment. I'm an attorney. I'm in favor of the First Amendment, but we have speed limits. And a lot of people love driving fast, but we have speed limits. We have helmets for motorcycles. People love driving with, driving motorcycles without a helmet. Metal detectors on airplanes. There are a lot of what people might consider violation of First Amendment. But why do we put guns ahead of everything? Why can't we just say, just because some people love to shoot guns, that they have done so much damage, just as speeding has done on the freeways, why can't we really limit them so it doesn't become an epidemic of carrying guns and everyone thinking that they have to be more macho than the next person? Avery?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you've raised a lot of issues there. Mm-hmm. First, I think that the American people need to make their views heard on this. 90% of Americans agree that we ought to strengthen the background check system. That includes 80% of Republicans and 70% of NRA members. So we need to expand the background checks like we were talking about before the break. We need to improve that system, and I can tell you some specifics about what Congress should do to fix that. But we've got to be louder. We've got to have these conversations with our congressional representatives and tell them we want them to do it. We want them to actually take action. And in fact, people can text Love Vegas to 877-877 and we will connect them directly to their congressional representative's office and we'll give them talking points.
Okay, now get to my point.
What do we do about the fact that Americans love their guns?
Yeah.
Look, we do have a Second Amendment, and that the Supreme Court has said means that law-abiding Americans can have guns in their homes. About 310 million guns are in America right now. I don't think it's going to happen that we're going to have some sort of massive shift in policy to confiscate guns, and that's not what I'm advocating
for.
So
you're talking about policy now, but of course you're talking also Supreme Court. We've had Alan Gura on our show, who is the attorney in the Heller case, in the McDonald case, and, you know, he talked about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. A lot of people have said, well, maybe that's a little outdated. Technology has changed, and that's not what the framers had in mind. Alan Gura, as he told us on Gervey's Law, was very happy about the decision in the Supreme Court, but does that really mean that it's right? And does it mean that the Second Amendment isn't outdated?
You know, there could be some discussions about that, but there's so much we can do without going to the question of whether the Second Amendment should be changed that I think it makes a lot more sense to do the things that have more chance of passage than to focus on something like changing the Second Amendment, which I think is not something that could realistically happen even if we wanted it to.
Right.
So I would rather focus on the things that we could do
more immediately
to make this country safer. Mm-hmm. That's where I would go. I understand that there's a really fascinating legal scholarly debate there, but I want to save some lives.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think that's what we all do, but, you know, it's still makes you wonder what the legislation is going to come out looking like when the gun lobby is so powerful and we know that our legislators are so tied to money and they do what the lobbyists make them do, not what they may think in their hearts.
That's right, and it is very discouraging, but this is a democracy we live in. And if 90% of the American people want something, then it's up to us to get our members of Congress to
Avery,
either
I have a question
for what we want or change them.
Avery, I have a question. Yeah, the response of Mr. LaPierre on behalf of the NRA, do you find that to be genuine in the sense that he is He's stated that he agrees with the issue of the bump stocks, that they should be done away with or regulated. And I just, you know, I don't know if he's saying this just to kind of, you know, save face or this is a genuine belief that he's in agreement with the 90% or whatever you quoted, that there's no reason for this. I mean, that their action has to be taken now.
You know, I think that the leaders at the NRA feel just as awful about a mass shooting event as everybody else. Nobody wants to see that. They don't want to see that. But the solutions that they propose are very different than what I think we need to do. They're not in favor of expanding background checks. They oppose that.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying they might be in favor of is ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, mm-hmm. and Firearms, taking a look at whether or not it properly classified bump stocks under existing federal law.
Mm-hmm.
So they did not say that they were for Congress taking action on bump stocks. They said they were for the ATF.
Okay, so they're putting it on the ATF, basically.
And only if Congress goes ahead with a bill that's about what they call concealed carry reciprocity,
mm-hmm.
which would basically force every state to recognize the concealed carry permits. That means a permit to
right.
carry a hidden gun everywhere you go
mm-hmm.
of every other state. So California would be forced under this proposal in Congress to allow somebody who has a concealed carry permit from Wyoming or Nevada or Colorado or any other state to carry concealed weapons in California.
Do you,
it's a dangerous proposal.
It is. And do you think that the NRA is skeptical? They're putting it on ATF. They're saying, you know, ATF should look at this. But is it because they're afraid that, you know, if they back, you know, if they really sort of root for this type of regulation on things like bump stocks, that somehow that'll be an entree into more regulation of in the gun industry, that's their skepticism here? I mean, why this wishy-washy, let's put it on the ATF?
I'm not sure. You know, mm-hmm. right before I was on Tucker Carlson, Chris Cox, who's the lead lobbyist for the NRA, was on the show. And he said a lot of things that were really encouraging to me. He said that the NRA wants to look at the right legislative solutions to this.
What? Wait a second.
He's not going to agree with me on very much, but that's what he said.
What do you expect him to say after the mass shooting? I mean, you have to look at the big picture here, not just a week of media after a horrendous act by a lunatic. So, you know, I think...
I agree, Alan. I don't think that the NRA is going to be standing up with me at a press conference announcing joint legislation anytime soon.
Sure.
I agree.
Why do people need automatic weapons anyway? What is that for? I'm still so out of it on this issue.
Well, just to clarify, there are automatic weapons. Those are the machine guns that are pretty tightly regulated and have been since 1934. And then I think the bigger debate in the country is over the semi-automatic weapons.
Right. And when I said automatic, I included semi-automatic.
I thought you might, but just wanted to clarify for your listeners. But, you know, the other issue that we were starting to touch on a few moments ago was about large capacity magazines. And
mm-hmm.
I think that ought to be part of the conversation here. Because, look, there are a lot of people in the United States who own semi-automatic weapons. They've had an incredible surge in popularity
mm-hmm.
in this country in the last decade. There is a difference, though, between a semi-automatic weapon and a semi-automatic weapon outfitted with a large capacity magazine that allows somebody to fire maybe 30 bullets without having to reload.
Avery,
and when we look at these mass shootings, those are a common thread.
Okay, so we're running out of time. Just in 30 seconds, can you answer my question? Why do we need semi-automatic, automatic? Take it from the NRA perspective. People are fascinated. I mean, are they walking around shooting them all the time, or is it just for protection?
Some people use them for hunting. Some people use them for all kinds of things. But the focus ought to be on how do we make sure dangerous people don't have access to guns,
yeah.
not what kind of guns are law-abiding people buying. I would focus it the other way.
I get it. I was way too Canadian in that question. Avery Gardner, I want to thank you for coming on. You've really enlightened our listeners, and we wish you all the luck with the legislation. Avery Gardner, co-president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. Thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thanks, Avery.
Thank you very much.
And we have just a minute left, Sarah. I just want to tell you that, you know, I've been getting a lot of comments that you have done just an incredible job co-hosting this show. You have so much to offer, and you're really opinionated. Did you know that?
I've been told.
You've been told? I don't believe it. It's crazy, but you know, I respect the opinions. I don't agree with all of them. I think you're way too right wing when it comes to guns, but other than that, I think everything you said was pretty important.
Thanks for having me. It was an honor.
Well, thanks for being with us. That's going to do it for this week's show of Gervie's Law. Don't know whether Carrie will be back next week. She may still be on vacation, but hopefully we'll see her here. Check us out on Facebook. And make sure that you have a great week. Make it a lot better than last week. And I don't think that's going to be hard to do. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.